Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we're clear.
Hello, horny babies. Thanks for tuning into Mike Check, the only show where two comedians watch the entire filmography of Mike Myers just to check if it's still good. Does that get longer every time I say it? That feels like it gets a minute longer every single time. Hi, I'm Cameron James. I'm one of the co-hosts of this show. Just a little message up top. We've been getting a lot of new listeners lately. Hello. Welcome to the Mike Check Republic. We welcome you with open arms. Just a little heads up for you guys. This episode is a little bit different to normal. It's a little bit isn't that special, if you will. Mike Check is normally all about Mike Myers, but this episode ain't about Mike at all. This is a spin-off ep that we call Carving It Up. Carving It Up is the only podcast within a podcast where two comedians watch the entire filmography of Dana Carvey just to check if they still, in fact, carve it up. Whatever that means. Carving It Up. Carving It Up is one of the stupidest ideas that we've had on this thing. Listeners from the beginning will remember we did an episode earlier on in the year. It was about episode 7, and that was all about Dana's film Master of Disguise. It's the stupidest episode we've ever done. It's a fake podcast within a real podcast that already has a really ridiculous premise. And so this is a follow-up to that. Alexi is the host of this show that seems to be set in a parallel universe to this one. I'm a guest on it, and we have another very special guest as well. So please prepare for a very stupid pod within a pod that's all about Dana. Enjoy Carving It Up!
This episode of Carving It Up... Sorry, I fucked it up, didn't say it properly. This episode of Carving It Up... I can't say the name of this podcast. Carving It Up. This episode of Carving It Up is brought to you by Dana Carvey, straight white male 60. The new Dana Carvey Netflix special. It's stand-up comedy on your Netflix account. You can watch this on Netflix whenever you want. Emmy-winning comedian Dana Carvey blends pitch-perfect takes on big personalities with so true it hurts stories from his life as a dad of millennials. You can catch it on Netflix. Now, onto the show. Now, have you ever wondered what it's like when you shut the door and leave your pets inside? What's going on in their lives? Do they have their own little secrets? Do they go on their own adventures? Or do they just sit around fucking around and picking up garbage off the floor and eating it? Well, that's the question that Dana Carvey tries to answer in his latest film, The Secret Life of Pets. I'm Alexi Toliopoulos, and I'm the host of Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast, where we go through the films and comedy... Sorry, just had a little bit of a choke, guys, but lucky I can edit that out. The films and comedic works of Dana Carvey, renowned comedian and comedic actor. I'm joined today by two local Sydney comedians who are, I must say, quite funny. And I'm here to talk, I wanted their takes on this film because this film features a great comedic cast. So I wanted to find out what their thoughts on this film are. I'm just...
Cameron, stop.
I'm joined today by comedian Becky Lucas. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm all right, actually. I've been having these headaches lately and I'm scared. But anyway.
Do you get a lot of material out of stuff like that?
I'm working on a bit about the pressure I'm feeling in my frontal lobe.
That sounds really funny. Yeah. Can't wait to hear it. I'm also joined by returning guest Cameron James, local comedian and podcaster.
Hey, Lex, how's it going?
I'm well, thanks. Will you behave yourself this time on the show?
Oh, sorry, I got a bit naughty last time, didn't I? Said a few swear words, maybe. I'll keep it very clean this time.
Thank you so
Cameron
much.
Cameron has the attitude right now of when you're in primary school and your teacher is like, you know, your teacher is your auntie or something. And you're acting a bit naughty because you can.
That's a really funny observation.
Yeah, because you're like hosting, is it not?
I think it's really funny. I tend not to laugh.
Okay.
I'm more of a comedic scholar, so okay. I appreciate jokes like that.
Can I?
But yes.
It's can I
say
joke?
Something?
You may, sure.
I just want to...
Is it going to be funny?
No.
Okay.
This little bit serious up top. I just want to clear the air.
Yeah.
Becky was honest. She said she's been a bit worried about her health lately. She's been feeling a bit bad. I'll be honest too. I'm having a bad day.
Okay.
Just earlier, Becky made fun of my pants and I snapped and I shouldn't have snapped.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You snapped in a way that scared me to bloody heck.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
To heck and back.
Well, it's great to have you back in the studio.
Because when I snapped, I saw the white of your eyes and I'm just so sorry.
I think because I'm so accurate in my depictions of you know, what I see and I'm able to relate them so clearly.
So how did you describe my pants
again? You looked
again?
Like your pants look like the pants of a nerd who takes up tango dancing.
Yeah. And when you said that, I reacted by storming into my room, slamming the door. And I can only imagine that from what you heard from out here was muffled
screams. It was a cacophony of very clear swear
It wasn't muffled?
No.
Okay, right. I was trying to muffle it into my pillow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we heard everything.
Okay.
It was clear. It was actually quite clear, almost as if you were yelling it through the keyhole of your bedroom door.
Could you see, when you looked at the keyhole, could you see a blinking eye?
We just saw red.
Okay, yeah.
It was the back of your tonsils.
Yeah.
Swinging.
Well, we're having a lot of fun here on the Carving It Up podcast.
We're having more fun on the podcast than off.
That's good. I'm glad. It's really great to have you guys in here. Now, Becky, as a comedian, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
So Dana Carvey's a comedian. Have you ever heard of him before?
Mm. I've seen his name thrown around,
yeah.
You know, but I've never investigated him too much as a performer. But well, I know I'm aware of some of his work. And
what works are you aware of?
Look, I couldn't say exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
But like, I know he's seen what he was in and what he was, you know, I know he's respected and shit.
Yeah, he's very respected and shit. he's actually not shit. He's actually really talented and he's one of the great heroes of comedy. Last time Cameron was here, we talked about Dana's time in SNL briefly. Now, SNL, what is that?
SNL to me is showbiz, I would say.
And Becky, what is SNL to you?
A show where they dress up and do little skits that I never find that funny. Sorry.
Acid tongues.
I've never gotten into SNL. I'm sure there's great stuff. It's just not something I ever...
There's a lot of great stuff. You look back in the 90s, you got Wayne's World.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know. It's like everyone...
And then like up until now, you know, you've got the Booger Brothers. You've got... you've got Carol Taint. You've got Sniff My Shorts.
Yeah,
like,
you got,
there's so many funny classic sketches.
Billy
and
Boom
I mean,
Bats.
Who could forget that opening scene when that woman sung the song?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing that's ever happened
that
on SNL.
That was really funny.
When Hillary Clinton sang Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It was, I'm still actually laughing
I'm
about
laughing.
It.
I'm laughing.
Yeah. It was so funny.
Well, we find humor in some of the strangest things in this world. And I just want to know... Becky, as a woman in comedy, mm-hmm. were you ever influenced by the church lady? It's one of Dana's characters. She's a very demure woman, but she's quite acid tongued.
Oh no, I don't know where my humor came from. It was.
I know where it came from.
Oh, where?
No, I was going to burn you really hard. But I'm not
yeah,
gonna...
where?
Not appropriate on this kind of show. But
don't worry.
I appreciate the thought, Cameron, trying to bring a bit of humor, maybe to some.
I swear to God, I'll burn you so.
No,
hard.
You have no idea how much I could destroy you.
Really?
You really have no idea.
Well, go right ahead.
I've got dirt, baby.
Really?
Oh yeah. I bought a worm farm. Had to buy a lot of dirt for that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Cameron's bedroom.
Yeah.
You got to look under the bed.
You know how some people have right like now. A water bed? I've got a worm farm bed.
Oh my God, that's why you've been looking like shit lately.
Huh? Excuse?
I just see your skin and your general demeanor. You're crooked back. You look like a Zed.
Listen, you look like three Zeds in a row. Snooze, I'm going to sleep.
To answer your question, no, I didn't take much comedic inspiration. You know, I really don't know where my... I've got very funny aunties. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's important to not absorb but to do.
Yeah, well, I'm
that's
a bit...
That's what I try to do.
I don't think I could ever try and do something like that. I'm more of a serious type.
Right. Yeah, see, I think I sort of get my inspiration. Like Bill Cosby was huge for me.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, though. I never got into Bill Cosby.
No, I was. Boring he's a big shit. Influence on me. I don't like his comedy much, but... It's like the way he lives his life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His morals and all that. All right, let's edit this out.
Okay.
Although I have been making more and more rape jokes lately. They are funny.
They are funny, aren't they? What's your favourite one?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we take a quick little break here on the Dana Carvey podcast and hear a word from our unofficial sponsor. Hey guys, if you're looking for a laugh this weekend, no need to leave the house. Live comedy may be thrilling, but it's even more funny when you're watching it in the comfort of your own home on the TV. That's right. You can watch Dana Carvey's latest comedy special on Netflix right now. It's called Straight White Male 60. You can look it up on Netflix. Here's a clip.
You know, when you go to McDonald's and you get a bunch of fries, what's up with the fries?
Funny stuff. Enjoy it in the comfort of your own home. You can do whatever you want and wear whatever you want while you watch it. And we're back talking Dana Carvey here on Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast.
Just forgot the name of your own podcast.
Yeah. I've had a really tough day as well. I know you guys, you're able to channel into some kind of humor and stuff, but I'm a darker soul. I can't really, I can't channel into funny. I kind of try and write some poetry and stuff about my life.
Oh, okay.
And it's not always appropriate to talk about it on the air.
What happened, man?
Well, I guess I can talk about it. I've just been real sick recently.
Yeah.
Had a bit of a cough and...
that sent you spiraling?
Oh my God.
Just one cough? Well, you are a sheltered little baby, aren't you?
I have a very strong immune system.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say ovarian cancer.
That's what you really crack me up, Cameron. Normally I don't laugh, but sometimes you can get to me. I guess that's one of your talents. But I do, like, I don't normally get sick, so when I get a little cough, it really takes a toll on me emotionally. Mm. So it's been very tough for me this week. But
do you consider coughs reps?
Well, they are representative of who I am as a human person. So
reps of 10.
Oh, do you mean like an exercise?
Yeah, like sometimes when I got a cough, I feel like my abs are getting stronger. Mm.
Sometimes sure. I don't get subversion where someone says something that means something else.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm
my
trying.
Mind is working at a million miles an hour and I have to remember to bring it back down to earth.
You are whip smart. And I think that's very, I appreciate that in comedy. So today
do you have any compliments for me while you're dishing them out?
I think you're pretty funny.
Thank you so much.
I think you're really good. And I can't wait to check you out at the comedy festivals later on this year.
Thanks. I might save it for the plug section at the end.
That sounds great. So we're talking about the latest Dana Carvey movie.
Yeah. What was it called again?
It's called The Secret Life of Pets.
I loved it.
You've seen it now.
Well, I saw it today.
That's good because we are reviewing that movie on the podcast today. And we're talking about it in part of the canon of Dana Carvey's work. Where it sits.
And what is his work?
Well, he's done a lot of stuff. He's done stuff like SNL. And I'm not sure if the listeners know what SNL is, but Becky, could you describe what SNL is?
It's this kind of, it's these sketches, you see, where they... Where
now,
they,
what is a sketch?
A sketch is...
some people might think it's a hastily done drawing.
Oh, well, they would be completely wrong. Because a sketch, in terms of performing, it's actually... You know, comedy is tragedy plus time equals comedy. Sketch is... time plus tragedy plus a large inheritance. you see, a lot of wealthy people get into sketch and improv because they, you know,
I should step in here and say Becky and I are actually in a sketch duo.
Okay, because I mainly know you guys from your kind of hard hitting
stand-up,
groundbreaking stand-up.
Yeah. Sure, so a lot of social commentary, yes. Race and gender issues come up quite a bit.
And the way they would describe your work, it's kind of very underdog style.
Thank you.
Yes. You guys are punching up.
Yeah,
sure, but I'm not opposed to punching down. I punch all areas.
I punch across. I sometimes punch the audience. I actually got into a fight the other night on stage.
Now tell us about that. That's been in the news a bit recently.
Yeah, I got up on. I was Becky was there.
Yeah,
we were at this gig in Coogee, and I was in a bad place.
Coogee. I was in Coogee. It's actually quite a nice area. Is that funny? I'm trying to do a joke.
That's really funny.
No, that is funny.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
And I got up with the wrong attitude. I got up. The crowd were combative. They were really giving it to the MC. I got up and I said...
Now, who was MCing this gig?
Siren Jayamana.
Really funny comedian.
Yep. And I got up there and I said, look, guys, I won't be long. I need to take a shit.
He did say that.
That's how I opened my set.
And it was disgusting. And one man actually said later that he felt sick.
One guy said he was struggling with it. But another guy really had a go at me for that. And I had to go back at him. There was some fisticuffs.
What did you say exactly?
And he got me to hold his little hat.
Yes.
Yeah, so I did. I handed you my little hat. I said, hold this. Don't let anybody crinkle my hat.
Yeah.
Because it is it's felt.
Could you describe the hat for us?
The hat was a sort of...
Because this is an audio medium. I'd love to kind of paint a picture in the audience's mind.
Absolutely. I think that's really important and something I'm happy to do with my words. The hat was sort of, I mean, we all know a fedora.
Yes, right, a fedodo, some might call it.
A fedodo. So it's this
and a trilby.
Some people may say the fedodo should be instinct, but in fact
it's
not. Well,
that's a very funny little tweet.
Thank you.
Now, Cameron handed me, it seems like a trilby, a little trilby hat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But it actually folds down into sort of like a, what's the word?
Well, it's,
a Legionnaire's cap. But he's got very sensitive skin and he's almost allergic to the sun.
I'm almost see-through. But I apply a layer of foundation on my skin every day so that people can see me.
So if that's why you've ever seen him and thought he's not someone that I like looking at, that's because...
And I think that kind of relates to your stand-up because you are quite transparent up there.
Yeah, I get up there and I just tell it like it is. And I told this guy like it was.
What did you say to this man?
I said, I hate you and you make me very angry.
And did you mean that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could see it.
And he flipped out. He went for my throat straight away.
I held Cameron's arms back because I didn't want him to get into a fight.
But what ended up happening by you doing that was I got beaten up.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't defend myself. Yeah. I could only kick.
But I was scared for you, so I was trying to stop it. But then, you did get hit quite a few times.
I got hit a lot. I started lashing out with my legs, but I just fell over and I fell on the ground.
But
and
I held you. I held you.
Yeah, it was like the Pieta. I was being held by my mummy is what it felt like.
Yeah. And what was the vibe like in the room, Becky?
He killed after he got straight back up and he killed.
Yeah.
That's great to hear.
It was great.
And was the rest of the night, did it all go on track? Or?
Yeah. I mean, thankfully I was the headliner. So I think that sort of brought the audience back at ease to know that, you know, that the show would get back
on
track.
You could also say that I maybe paved the way for you having a good set.
There was a certain element of that, but I think, just to be clear, I was a headliner and I did bring it home.
Sure. I headline places as well.
Yeah. I think we miss each other because we're sort of...
We don't get to giggle each other that much.
Well, the Sydney comedy scene is an absolutely vibrant place and it would be lucky enough to see any of these two great comedians out on the stage. I'm here with Becky Lucas, a local Sydney-based comedian. And I'm also here with Cameron James.
I keep forgetting this is radio.
Yeah, to be honest, we used to be on the radio, but now we did, after the last episode of this show, we did have faced some cutbacks over at the ABC.
Sorry, did you say cuckbacks?
No, well, that's part of it. But we did get some cutbacks over at the network and... radio is not in the same place it used to be, so it's kind of more accessible just to do a podcast. You can talk about whatever you want, do as long as you want, try and get your own sponsors again.
What was radio like when you first started?
Well, it was a different time.
And when was it?
Well, I mean, of course.
It was early 2016, so
right.
Things were a little bit different. Not too different, actually, but, you know, we had a lot more greats still with us back then.
Okay.
And unfortunately, this year's been quite rough. For a lot of the great artists that we've come to know and love have been stripped away from us.
Sure, David Bowie.
Yeah, David Bowie, Prince, the guy that did the Big Mac. One of my heroes, the guy that made the Big Mac.
And also the grandma from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Doris Roberts, unfortunately, did leave this mortal coil.
I did my my Facebook wrap up of her when she died, and I got like 16 likes. It was really disappointing.
Can I say something? 2016, go home. You're drunk.
Oh my god!
Right
there, you.
Can it just be over already?
Yeah.
Like seriously,
I'm done. 2016. Thank you.
Seriously, like again, okay, like I'm done. Okay,
I mean,
so
I'm over it. I'm
like,
going
literally
home.
Stop. Like 2016, another one.
Me. And it's like a picture of me, but I'm like curled up in my blanket. It's me. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm like, sorry. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. All right.
If 2017, if one celebrity dies in 2017,
I'll kill
I'm
myself.
Done. I'll kill. Yeah,
I'll kill
die.
Myself. Yeah.
Well, I think.
And Trump. Oh my god.
I mean. You know,
it's like
I've literally haven't breathed since Trump got elected.
I was like, excuse, there's no way he's gonna get in.
The other day, I put my hand in a toaster just because I was like, fucking Trump.
What?
So angry.
I'm furious.
I'm fucking angry.
Oh my god.
Well, we're very fortunate in this world, even though these tragedies do happen, to have people like you there to bring that smile back on our faces. And today, we're going to be talking about another one of those people that does that, and actually. Quite fascinatingly enough, a lot of people that do that for us in the world today. We're talking about The Secret Life of Pets, the latest film starring Dana Carvey. It's an animated film from Illumination Entertainment, the people that brought you Minions. And it's all about what the world is like from the eyes of a dog, a cat, or even a guinea pig. And it's about these little creatures that we know and love as being these little friendly-faced little doodaddies that hang out on the ground. But you can kind of cuddle up with, play your own games. Basically, you're the controller of their lives. But we've never really thought about what it's like to see the world from their perspective. And this movie is all about that.
Yeah, we've never had that. Like, if only there was a movie about, like, a cat or something where it's from...
Yeah.
You know, if it was, and there's
or,
a
like,
comic
two
book,
dogs like... from different sides of the, you know, the street who fall in love and, like, eat pasta and kiss.
Or even, like...
We've just never really experienced
or
that.
Or mice that live in the sewer or chickens that live on the farm. We've never seen anything like that before. And this film is breaking a lot of new ground. And I think it's quite fascinating that this film is done in 3D animation. Now, I know, Cameron, you've worked in 3D animation before. Is there any kind of light that you can shed onto us about what the process is of making something like that?
Absolutely. It takes a long time. It costs a lot of money. And at the end of the day, you want it to look real but not too real, because there's such a thing called the uncanny valley. Mm. And that's where things look so lifelike that it spooks us out.
It makes us feel sick.
I felt a bit sick a couple of times in this movie.
Yeah, well, did you take a journey down into the uncanny valley?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a character in this movie called the Python, I think.
I believe it's called the Viper.
The Viper, sorry. And
now, the Viper, what is that?
Viper, to me, is a snake.
Yes.
And
it's a particularly venomous snake.
Right.
Okay. Found in the African jungle.
Oh, fascinating. Now, Becky, have you ever been to Africa?
I have.
Oh, what's that like?
Frankly, it was terrifying.
Sounds great. Now, tell us about more about this viper.
Well, see, I can relate to vipers a lot because I'm sure you know this from your research, but my nickname around town is the snake.
Yes.
Well,
a lot of people calling me the snake. They're saying, look out for Cammy the snake.
Yeah, but that's only because you've been
stealing.
He'll
get you. They go, look out for him. He'll get you. Don't turn your back on him. He's a snake.
Yeah, but it's just because of your snake-like nature. Lately, you've been really fucking people over. And not in a good way. Like, we're all talking about it. Like, in a way that seriously needs to be addressed.
Interesting. So, I've obviously spent a lot of time around snakes. And when I saw that one, I thought, wow, I'm looking at me on screen right now. Like, I saw it and I was like, that is freaking
Because you
me
have
out.
A pet snake.
Yes, I do.
And you also, Cameron, actually, have you been to Cameron's house lately? Because he put all his old Monster Energy drink cans on the wall, and that's where he hangs his fedora.
That's such an interesting...
It's a really interesting way to
and
utilize
guys,
space.
If you guys think for a second that I'm like sneakily touching your legs at all during this podcast, that's just the viper that I have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you brought him with you today into the studio.
Yep, absolutely. I love him.
What's his name?
Cameron.
Right.
Yeah.
What's his surname?
The Snake.
Okay. Now, Becky, were there any moments in this film that made you squirm, made you feel uncomfortable? Anything that you had to grapple with while watching The Secret Life of Pets?
There was a moment, I believe, where the guinea pig was...
How many minutes into the film?
I couldn't say. I really couldn't. But basically okay, anything
I did
to
ask you to take notes.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. That's... I didn't. Wasn't listening to you.
If you could just let her answer the question.
Is this going to be a problem? Or...
Sorry about him.
That's okay.
I've done the show before. Yeah.
I mean, at what point do I just forget about it?
He's on the spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I'm happy to answer your questions. I'm just really busy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I must apologize. I've been going through a rough patch. I've been sick recently. I've been suffering an illness. And my mental capabilities haven't all been there. And I've been really taking out on a lot of
For example, most people would say been all there, whereas you say all been there. So, I mean, he's all muddled.
He's muddled all, yeah. As you might say.
Well, you know, that is an example of what I'm going through at the moment. So thank you for bringing it up.
That's okay.
In a way that was kind. Yeah. understand what's going on with me.
So you were saying something about the guinea pig?
I mean...
I can host this, Cameron. No, I'm still capable. I may be going through a bit of a sickness, but I am capable of hosting Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast.
Okay. Yes. Sorry?
Okay, we'll
you can
go
sit back down.
Okay. Take me a minute to sit down, just...
TMI.
Now, TMI, what is that?
Oh, it's too much information.
Okay. So this film, The Secret Life of Pets, is a 3D animated film. Oh my God.
Ask her about the guinea pig.
Oh, yeah. What about the guinea pig again?
I just felt like, fuck, like, it just didn't have the right ratio. Like, its body was too big and it's like, it was like freaking me out. Its mouth and like... its teeth and
yeah.
And he didn't have a home, he didn't know where to go. And I was like, at least all the other ones like knew where they belonged and it was all like fucking scurrying around. It just reminded me of when I lost so many guinea pigs.
Really? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, one day I
all in one day.
No, but this was the most memorable.
Okay.
I lost a guinea pig. She sort of burrowed underneath this little hole.
Underneath the hole?
Yeah, well it was a she.
How do we know?
That's
do you have a look at little pussy?
Cameron, she gave birth, all right? Okay. A bit more respect. Okay. She gave birth to 36 beautiful little children.
Sorry. We've all got mums. I can relate.
I don't have a mum. Yeah, seriously.
Well, that's quite tough, but hopefully you can find some comfort in your pets.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, yes. So she burrowed under. I didn't know where she was. Freaked out, obviously. Got a new cat.
A little
my
bit
mum
scared.
Felt sorry for me. Got me a new cat. That's sort of how... Oh, fuck. I've just revealed that I do have a mum.
Oh, sorry. That's really embarrassing. Over.
Sometimes comedians, they have to go to open mics to work out the material, and sometimes they try something new and it might not work.
Yep.
And that's an example
that's
of that.
That's an example
that
of something that didn't quite link up.
Now, Becky, you texted me today after you watched it and you said that you cried all through this film.
Really?
I'm just in an emotional place.
What made you cry
sick?
About it?
Have you been sick? There is a bug going around.
Well, I've got this pressure in my frontal lobe and recurring headaches and a tiredness that I can't seem to shake.
Do you think you'll be getting any material out of something like that?
I don't know, Alexi, because at the moment I don't feel that there is, but, you know.
So what was it that made you cry?
It's just that connection to a pet, you know, and I really found strength in this girl. She's, you know, she's living in New York City, which is a notoriously brutal city.
Are you talking about Gidget or?
Extremely, what?
Gidget the dog or the, which
no,
woman?
The woman,
Katie.
Oh, Katie.
She's living alone.
Katie played by one of our finest comedic acting talents in the world today, Mrs. Ellie Kemper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to me, one of our finest comedic talents in Sydney. anyway, I just thought,
excuse
you know,
me,
she's
I
in
need
this
to clear my throat.
She's in this, you know, this dog eat dog world, and you know, pardon the pun.
That's pretty funny.
But she's in this dog eat dog world, and
that's
it's
funny.
Extremely expensive. She's got this beautiful apartment. Might I say those views?
Yes, of New York City.
You can say it. You can say
I mean,
it.
If I can say,
I'll let you say it.
All right, if you'll let me
I'm
say.
I'm the host. I will allow it.
Okay, thank you, Alexi. If I can say that those views are so beautiful.
You may.
And for her to, you know, have this dog and then for there to be that sort of tension and then at the end when she puts her arms and they rest their fucking little heads on the on her fucking legs.
Well, usually we don't talk like that on this show, but you did it in such a way that was quite charming and funny. So I will leave it in.
Free pass.
Now, when I watched it, I will admit I got a little bit emosh as well.
Mm. Now, what does that mean?
Emotional. It's a short way of saying it that comedians say sometimes.
Thanks for saving time. We do have to run at about 1 hour today.
Okay. I got a little bit emosh because I was relating myself and my friends to the animals in the film.
And I know where you're going with this, Cameron.
And where's that?
No, why don't you continue and I'll let you know if you're on the
right
track. Well,
you know, obviously we all see ourselves as the star of our own film, right? So I did relate to Max. I see myself as a scrappy little terrier type who's loyal to a fault, loving, cool, funny, writes good bits, yeah. Has his own show on FX.
Yeah, so...
See, I saw him as the dog catcher, the dog
Okay, that's interesting. Because I was going to say originally that you, Becky, you reminded me of Duke because you just came bounding into my life and you were uncouth and you were vile and you made me sick and angry and I wanted you gone. But eventually I grew to respect and admire you.
Yes.
After we went through some ordeal. But Alexi, you reminded me of that hawk.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Played by Mr. Albert Brooks.
Yeah, because I don't trust you, but you seem like you hate yourself.
Well, like I said, I have been sick, so it's been harder to live with myself recently.
Oh.
Now, the character that Cameron was referring to earlier, Max. A Jack Russell Terrier, he's played by Mr. Louis C.K.
And what a pairing.
Who is a very well-renowned comedian. Now, has Louis C.K. as a young ginger man in comedy?
Becky's talking to you.
Cameron is notoriously red.
Yeah, he's a red boy.
I'd say I have strawberry blonde hair and Celtic skin. You
has
know?
He ever kind of had an influence on you?
I've never actually seen any of his stand-up, but I... But I love that stuff that he does with women.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. No,
I would kill on the open mic circuit if I had something Louis C.K.'s cum smeared across my forehead.
Yeah, he's obviously one of the greats. And much like him, I do a new hour every week. I do a new hour of material.
It's not necessarily funny.
No, but I'll just get up and talk. I'll just blather on, won't I?
You do blather.
I blabber.
Yep.
I'll do lots of callbacks to things I haven't set up.
Now, Mr. Louis C.K.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
It's interesting that we're talking about him here, that he's working in this film against the magnificent Mr. Dana Carvey. Because back in the 90s, these guys were inextricably linked during the TV show, The Dana Carvey Show.
Did you know that, Becky?
Yep.
Wow. Now, what can you tell us about that, Becky?
It was a time where they were both learning to write and produce their own, you know, this TV show together. I believe there was a couple of ups and downs, as, you know, most people who
have you ever had ups and downs in your own collaborations?
I collaborate with a guy who, we have a very tumultuous relationship. It will often go from screaming to laughter within 0.07 of a second. I won't name names, but
I think we all have an idea of who this person could be.
Yes.
Mr. Cameron James.
Cameron, would you like to comment on that on that dynamic?
I'd say we have a Duke Max type relationship.
Oh, yeah. Now Duke and Max are the two lead characters in The Secret Life of Pets. Max being played by renowned comedian Mr. Louis C.K. and Duke, who is a giant dog, who is the new kind of rambunctious character in shaking up Max's life,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be a secret life or his public life. We don't really know. But Duke is played by a wonderful thespian, Mr. Eric Stonestreet.
They came from Modern Family.
Who is he's one of my idols.
Fashion icons.
Well, for fashion and also for, you know, kind of keeping my own body in check.
What do you mean?
he's a chunky man. I will say that. He's a bigger fellow.
Husky.
And it's important for people like me, young husky people in the industry, to look up to people of a similar shape and size to show that you can make it no matter what you do look like. We're at a good point again to take a little break on this show. I just want to say thank you to Becky and Cameron for joining us. Will you guys stay around for the next half of the show?
I would love to stay around.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, appreciate that. You're listening to the Dana Carvey podcast. It's called Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast. We're going to take a quick little break right now. And this segment is actually dedicated to the new WTF episode that just came out this week, starring Dana Carvey. It's an interview. So we're brought to you today by the WTF podcast. Here's a clip.
We doing this? Really? Pow, I just shit my pants.
And welcome back to Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast. We're brought to you today by WTF, the Marc Maron podcast, where he recently interviewed none other than Mr. Dana Carvey. And we will be talking about Dana Carvey today, mainly in relation to his currently released film, Secret Life of Pets. My name is Alexa Teleopoulos. I'm your host, and I'm once again still joined by Becky Lucas, local comedian. How are you?
Hi, how are you going? Just like to say I'm not just local, I'm national and international. Thanks very much.
And we're also joined by local comedian Cameron James.
Hey, can I ask how many listeners do you get for this show?
Well, that's private.
Can I ask privately then?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll write it down on a piece of paper for you.
Could I do a little advertisement?
Yes, sure. We're not into plugs yet, but if you can work it into conversation naturally.
Okay, well, I've just heard about this great service called Alexi's Deliveries.
Yeah, sure. What's that about?
It's awesome. You can call up Alexi and whatever you feel like eating when you're watching a movie, he'll bring it over to your house for you. Cameron, what sort of snacks do you like to eat?
Thai food, thick, brothy curries, casseroles,
so any kind of meal, snacks, drinks, or nutritional
soups, like tomato-based soups.
Yep. So probably not stuff like that, more like Tim Tams.
Sort of lentils and like...
Yep, okay. That's so call up Alexi and he'll swing by.
Sort of like
he'll swing
soup.
By in an Uber as a part of it. It's a separate thing to Uber Eats. It's sort of his
So who pays for the Uber?
He does. Yeah.
And how does he get paid?
Well, he doesn't. He just does it for the love of it. But he wants to connect with more podcast listeners, and so that's a handy little way for him to do it. So look him up. It's lexdeliveries.com.au, and I'll throw it back to you, Lex.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Dana Carvey podcast, Carving It Up. It's all about Dana Carvey, and today we're talking about The Secret Life of Pets. Now, what could happen when you shut the door on your little dog? Is he going to muck around? Is he going to stay in his place? When you say stay, does he actually do it? Or does he fuck off and go on an epic adventure of gigantic proportions?
Well, can I say something? I really kind of hoped that this movie was just going to be like the dogs stuck in their own apartments and maybe going into each other's apartments.
Yeah.
And it was kind of
having
cute.
A little muck around.
A muck around.
Hooking
with like,
up with each other,
it was
if you
so
will.
Cute.
Yeah, maybe like hooking up and like eating food sneakily. And the first 10 minutes was like all that. And it was pretty like cute and adorable. But then it just goes into this epic adventure where they're like...
It's rousing.
They nearly die a bunch of times. And I think they kill people. They kill that viper.
Well, they kill the viper in a shocking way.
That was really funny.
The viper does get squished and it's quite humorous.
Yeah, I didn't find it funny. I never find that sort of stuff funny, but that's just me.
I love all cartoon people dying. Bambi's mum, so funny. I like, because you don't really get comedy deaths in cartoons
anymore.
Well,
you get Kenny.
Yeah, I know, but that's not for kids, really.
Well, true. Kenny actually is about a guy that fixes toilets, so I don't know what you're talking about.
But I think it's cool that they've just gone, oh, not every death has to be meaningful, life-changing and sad in this thing. Yeah. There can be funny deaths again. Like, that Viper really gets squished.
It does get squished big time.
Mm, it's an undeniable squish. I think it's good, yeah, for kids to kind of not take death seriously.
Yeah, to be confronted by death early on does... kind of make the character stronger.
I'll never forget when my mouse, Lisa Marie, that was my grandma, but I'll never forget when my mouse, Lisa Marie, died and the pain I felt. That was my first lesson
in death. Now, how did Lisa Marie pass, if you don't mind me asking?
It was actually shocking, and if I do tear up, I apologize.
That's okay.
I had a beautiful little mouse who I had for a few years. Mm-hmm. She lived a long time. She's special. And
isn't that special?
It was special. Mm. And it was a particularly hot day in Brisbane, a heat wave. We've all experienced that. That's something that we all know.
What are we talking, 43, 44?
Look, I was young, so that all that sort of numerical 10, stuff, 12. It didn't really matter.
We could probably look it up.
We probably could, but I wouldn't like to revisit that day.
But it is something that we can all relate to.
It is
something
something we've all said, oh, heat wave, and you know, that's something we know. So it's a heat wave. My parents say, we've got to get out of the house. It's too hot. We'll go to the park. Everyone's sitting at the park by the river.
What, just in direct sunlight?
No, there was shade, but it was we needed that river breeze.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They wouldn't let me take the mouse, which is very strange because I travel with the mouse a lot. I think I did about 4 Sydney trips. My parents lived in different states, so I would take my mouse.
You're a child of divorce.
I'm a child of divorce, if you can't tell. By my kind of hurried nature.
You always seem like you're trying
very
to impress.
Desperate. Yeah, always trying to impress, always trying to keep both sides happy.
And so far, it's working.
Thank you. So anyway, it's a very hot day. I leave my I don't want to leave my mouse there, but my dad says, look, we can't take her. We don't know what's going to happen. We might go to a restaurant after. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So I leave my mouse knowing full well she is hot. Yeah. She is sweating. She has a bead of sweat running down her chest. I find the coolest place in the house. Dad puts a fan on her. Not a fridge. My dad puts a fan on her. We're a bit worried. We're all as a collective sort of unit. My stepmom, who I love as a mother.
Now, I notice you use the word unit and not family.
Well, I've got two families. Lexi, if you want me to go into it, which I am happy to.
I'll stop you there. Let's stay on track with the mouse.
My mouse. So I leave my mouse. I leave my mouse knowing full well she's overheating.
Mm.
Yeah, you just know.
Yeah.
Mm.
I leave and the whole time, you know, I stress out. I'm sitting underneath a palm tree under me and, we're having a barbecue. The fireworks. Someone lets off some fireworks. I'm happy.
Are you sure things just weren't exploding if it was this heat wave?
No, they were fireworks.
People were celebrating.
There was Lovers in the Air was playing.
Oh, JPY. Drifting,
JPY. Beautiful moment, really. Mm.
One of my favorite songs.
This is a very evocative story.
It was a very evocative time.
Yeah.
And then I came home. I arrived home. I ran to my mouse. She was stiff as a board.
Oh, no.
Lisa Marie, dead.
Mm. Passed out, dead from heat.
And I have never cried so much since.
Mm. That's a pretty funny story.
Not that funny.
Hey, do you think maybe you cried all your tears?
I think
so. Yeah.
And that's why I don't show much emotion anymore.
No, that's true. You're
I'm quite closed off.
Very closed off.
And I think
person.
That's what makes me.
Sometimes I crack through and I'll get some.
Yeah, I mean,
some truth
you annoy me, but I don't cry.
No, but I could make you cry.
Well,
I can add something really funny to the end of her story?
Yes, of course you may.
So your little mouse name is Lisa Marie. That makes me think of Sarah Marie from Big Brother. Remember the bum dance?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, who could
that
forget
was pretty funny.
The bum dance?
Well, I wouldn't want to forget it.
It's impossible to forget a woman shaking her posterior on national TV.
And owning it.
Yes. And often she would be wearing kind of like, Playboy bunny ears.
Sure. She made it okay to be big.
Yeah. And as a chunky man trying to break into the industry as well, Sarah Marie was one of the early people that put in the groundwork for people like me to eventually kind of go out and try and take a little piece of the industry for their own. You know, in a way, I carved out my own piece.
Well, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Look, it was my sexual awakening. And a lot of people talk about the Kardashians as bringing curves back. What about Sarah Marie?
Because I would often stay up and watch shows up late.
Absolutely.
Shows, and I would and I would be hoping for a glimpse of Sarah
Marie. Blair's little dinger.
The Doona dance.
Yeah, remember the dancing Doona?
Yeah,
Ben and Christy, was it? Mm. Ben and... Who cares?
Ben and Jerry.
It was sexy.
I remember my loins being on fire.
Yeah, I was turned on. I was like, I can't wait to make a Doona dance one day. Mm-hmm. And now as a grown-up with a Doona of my own, I can say, don't make it dance much because it's too sweaty under there. Kick it off.
Now I search relentlessly. I'll search 15 minutes to try and find something that vaguely you know, catches my interest, yeah. and then I just give up.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the world today. It just goes to show. That's the world today. It is quite a fast-paced world, and people get horny all the time.
I wonder what Dana Carvey looks up.
Well, probably
old clips, old SNL clips.
Probably Rich Little clips. I believe Rich Little was a big influence on Mr. Dana Carvey. Ah. He was a impersonator during the 1940s to the 1980s who would do presidents such as Reagan or even earlier presidents such as Nixon.
Mm. Cool. That's great.
Name another one, Alexi.
Well, people like Carter.
Lincoln.
And Mr. Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Ah.
Now, you're a big fan of Dana Carvey?
Yeah, I have studied him. I did write a PhD about Dana Carvey.
Okay. Was that on the Master of Disguise?
Yes.
Franchise?
It was on the Master of Disguise franchise and talking about its place in not just cinema history, but world history and international relations.
What does PhD stand for?
It stands for pretty hard documents, and it was a pretty hard document to put together.
And did you, was that through like a university or did you just do it independently?
Well, I just did it on my own one day.
Right.
Just did it in one day.
Interesting. Yeah. In one day.
Yeah, one day. It was only 500 words, but I did a pretty good job.
That's great.
Thank you
so much.
It
makes me think about what these little animals would have done their PhD on, these pets.
Perhaps furballs or perhaps their owners. We don't really know what the secret life of pets really is, but this film does attempt to try and unlock what that secret life is. And one of the pets in the film is played by Mr. Dana Carvey. He plays a character called
Pops.
Yes. What kind of dog is Pops?
I'd say Pops is a Dachshund.
Oh, yeah, love.
An
love
old Dachshund.
Or yeah. A Basset Hound.
A Basset, perhaps, even.
Yeah, I would actually say he's a Basset Hound.
Maybe Buddy is a
Dachshund.
Wait,
was he the one with wheels?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a Basset Hound.
A Basset.
Yes. Your sausage would be the other guy.
That's Hannibal Burris.
Oh, yep.
Who was most recently in Sydney. And you guys being Sydney comedians, did that leave an impact on the scene at all?
Look, when Hannibal was here,
things changed.
Everything changed. We all started smoking more weed, for one. I know I did.
Now, he did kind of put he kind of did try to take down those lockout laws while he was here. Did you see any kind of effect, any ripples in your scene about
actually,
that?
Actually, it worked. Hannibal Burris's tweet actually reversed Mike Baird's laws.
Yeah.
Sydney's open again.
Awesome. We'll go to bed at the same time.
Yeah, it's so good. And comedy is on every night. That's the cool thing that happened out of it.
You can really find, support local comedy, because if you don't support it, it won't exist. And if it doesn't exist, then
who's going to make you laugh, huh? Your dad? Don't think so.
No. Yeah, comedy, it's great to see live comedy, but it's also really fun to see it at home in your own comfort of your own home. You can watch it on Netflix, such as Dana Carvey's new special.
And if you want some snacks to go along with it, call Lex Delivery. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of cool live comedy, can I just, as a further addendum to that story I told earlier, or that Becky and I told earlier.
What was that story? Give us a quick recap.
Sorry for your radio listeners. Well, we were at a gig that was particularly rough, and I told the audience I needed to shit, and I bonded with them. And then afterwards,
it wasn't as playful as it's making it
up. Afterwards, a heckler came up. He was giving everyone a real go.
Now, a heckler, what is that?
Heckler is someone who sits in the crowd and yells at them.
We'll do a little
act out.
A little tete-a-tete. Yes.
Okay, should I be?
I mean, I'm a natural performer, so perhaps I could do stand-up.
Okay, do some stand-up.
Okay.
Do you want me to bring you up? I've seen MCs do stuff before.
Oh, great.
Now, our next comedian, she is really funny, and she's also very pretty. It's Becky Lucas.
Thank you. And can we keep that applause going for your MC, Alexi Toliopoulos, doing a wonderful job.
That's the sound of me fapping.
Great crowd here tonight, guys. Great crowd here tonight. Remember, if you want to smoke tonight, you got to go downstairs, get on the bus, take the bus to the ferry, get on the ferry, and
shut up. What?
Oh, we've got some bit of a live wire in here tonight. Yeah, mate, I can hear you. I'm not a TV. Can't switch me off.
You're a dumb cunt.
I'm a dumb cunt. All right, let's clap if we think he's the dumb cunt. See, buddy, we think you're the dumb cunt. Suck your own dick? Well, you've got poor enough posture. You probably could suck your own dick.
Sucking me own dickie.
Sucking me own dickie. Is that a language you're speaking, mate? We don't know what you're saying.
You're fucked.
All right. Oh, this guy's been talking and someone's built a bloody comedy club around him. All right. Shut up, mate. You're an idiot.
And that's the sort of thing that happens. Yeah, and Becky deals with it very well.
Seeing you in that kind of made-up diorama of what a comedy scene actually is like, it was pretty thrilling. And do you like it when you have hecklers? Does it kind of...
It invigorates Becky.
Yeah. I love it.
My reaction to it is often that I will draw them to me. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be the flame, they're the moth. I make direct eye contact. All of a sudden, they love me. This guy, this heckler, loved me, bought me a beer afterwards. And then he started telling me about his type of comedy. What I learned.
Now, what's he like?
Now, us in the comedy world, we think that we're the providers of jokes and of laughs everywhere. But this guy told me, he said, look, I could never do what you guys do up there. I have my own type of comedy, but it's more for the street.
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I do pranks, bro.
That's funny stuff.
And I said, what kind of pranks do you do? And he went, oh, just like jackass type stuff. Like I'll go up to some weird looking dude on the street, hold his hand or whatever.
Now, that's pretty funny stuff. And something else that's quite funny is Dana Carvey as the Basset Hound Pops in this film. Now, as a Dana Carvey fan myself, it was quite thrilling to hear his voice in an animated film. Or should I say an animated film? And because we haven't really seen his work in this kind of way before, which is odd. Because you'd think someone with over 1,000 voices could have at least provided one of those voices to animated content before. But this is the first time.
That's true. Why wasn't he in cartoons?
Well, I think he was scared of them. I don't think he quite understood what they were, how they worked. Or he is also a live performer, so he also might like to be seen.
My auntie has that disease where she thinks all cartoons are real.
Really?
It's a disease?
Yeah, it's a disease.
Is it a disease or an illness?
It's both.
It's called being fucked in the head, yes?
Cameron, that's not
quite appropriate.
Cameron,
that's actually not quite
I was doing a prank. That's
That is pretty funny. I do know that one of your influences in comedy is that dirty heckler at the bar.
yeah, he's my biggest influence, I'd say. Now, do you like cartoons, Becky?
Sure, yeah, I do. I find cute comedy, because I'm not a cute comedian. Like, I don't find my jokes, you know, they're quite harsh at times.
Mm.
Whereas
and quite raw.
I don't know. You're a bit cute.
No,
on stage.
But I mean, personally, I'm adorable.
No, I mean, like, not as. I mean, like, your persona. You're up there and you're like, teehee.
No, I'm talking about very shocking
things. You're like, teehee, look at me. Yeah. Stuff like that.
I would say I'm sort of more like I'm like a female Louis C.K. and people
have
been saying
that. I've seen you up there where you go like, I'm a little garbage girl. I'm a little bin girl. I belong in the toilet.
I'm just a little dumb bin girl. Just put me in the garbage because this bloody dumb little mate. Shut the fuck up, Twitter.
Now that's quite funny. Now isn't that special?
Alexi.
Yes?
Nothing. Look, I don't know where I was going with that, but I love cartoons. I think they're very cute. And that's what I loved about Secret Life of Pets.
Mm.
It was so cute. Like, I love the way I'm just a sucker for an animation.
Yeah?
I love their little faces. I loved it when he was like, I miss you so much.
His owner.
Yeah,
that's
that was very cute.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, and I just like, I loved their little, I mean, look, it's, you know, it wasn't the best animation, but I was in it and I was not going anywhere.
I got into it too. I feel like it was, at times I was like, oh, I'm kind of watching Toy Story meets like Lady and the Tramp or something.
There were huge plot jumps too. Like with the bunny and him, how they're like, we got to do this. And then suddenly they have a truck. I'm like, well, how did this happen?
Yeah, but I kind of liked that. I didn't care. I
do because I'm sort of.
I mean, you're obsessed with story. Yes. I'm more of like into the laughs. You're more about hard jokes. Yeah.
You're more of a yarn spin of a comedian where Cameron is more of a, you know, bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
I mean, I zing.
You do zing, but sometimes that's tiring, whereas people say they could watch me for hours, and I think that's sort of the sign of a real...
Yeah, but you haven't got hours of material.
No,
you've
I
got
don't.
About 40
I've
minutes.
I've got about 40 minutes. Yeah.
You are working on a new show. Now, most comedians tend to do a new hour every year, but this year you're kind of breaking the mold, and you're doing a four-hour show.
I am doing a four-hour show.
Now, tell us about that.
There's a lot of sitting down. There's a reflection time. There's a Q&A. Mm-hmm. I invite a few friends on.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing a bit.
I make martinis at one point for everyone. That's just to loosen people up and get them in the mood.
Is that at the start of the show?
That's in the middle. I do that at about the hour and a half point.
Now, are you Becky during that scene or are you playing one of your characters?
I play one of my characters called Arabella.
Oh, now what's she like?
Arabella is a rich aristocratic wife of a diplomat. And I think those things are,
And she has thick ankles.
Thick ankles but a skinny neck. And yeah. It's a source of contention between her and her husband.
And people aren't sure if Arabella, the character, is racist or if you're racist.
Me. Yes, well, that's the thing. When I have a little, I'm a ventriloquist. I do some ventriloquism in my new show, and that's a really great opportunity for me to say some things I think about race using the little dummy. Mm.
What's the puppet's name again? Noodles?
Noodles, yes. And he is a gollywog. and so, yeah, I can really just go for it. And that's not me saying that stuff. That's Noodles.
That's Noodles.
Yeah, so that's good. That's freedom for me.
And you can catch this show. What's it titled again, sorry?
It's called Whatever.
Yeah, and it's a pretty funny idea for a show, and the poster's great. It is Becky kind of hunching her shoulders over with her arms outstretched, as if posing the question of whatever to the people looking at
exactly.
the poster.
Exactly, and I've got race and war written on both hands, and on my legs I've got Trump and Sanders, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Mr. Bernie Sanders. It sounds fantastic. We're almost out of time here.
Wow, we've talked about this movie a lot.
Yeah, it's... Now, if anyone wants to check out The Secret Life of Pets, we will be doing a local screening here in Sydney.
A slocal. Did you mean to say a slow school screening?
A slow school screening, where we play the movie about half speed so we can talk about it and analyze it frame by frame.
We get three of the dumbest kids from each of the regional schools. And we give them free popcorn and we just have fun and we talk.
But we do charge for Cokes.
Yes. And we charge them more than what they're worth because they're too dumb to understand. It's a wonderful little operation we've got.
Now, would you guys recommend The Secret Life of Pets to anybody curious in finding out what pets actually do get up to when we close the doors and leave them inside when we go about living our everyday life, such as going for work, to the shops, getting groceries, or even trying to meet a lover?
You know, Katie didn't have a lover and I respected her for that.
I reckon she probably did. She at least didn't bring him home.
Well, whatever. I think that's good to not bring a man into your domain straight away.
That's a good idea. I would recommend it to people. I think it was pretty cute, pretty fun. It was an adventure. A lot of the movie is animals being thrown around. They hit a lot of people with cars.
I don't like seeing their bodies flail like that. Although it did make me want to see a dog fall.
Yeah. Fall from a building, hit an awning, bounce off that awning, land in a flower bed.
Yeah, I'm like,
okay.
Their back would be broken within minutes. Like, this is, like, they're constantly falling off shit. And I'm like, their backs would be done.
No, they're gone. I mean, if this was live action, this would be like a Milo and Otis situation where they would go through, countless animals.
Now, what did happen on Milo and Otis?
They killed every animal after every scene. Even if the animal survived the scene, they would break its neck.
Now, that's quite controversial.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the great things that animation does. You can treat an animal like shit. But it won't have a negative impact on its body or neck.
Well, that's true. That
it raises the question, though, is it promoting violence towards animals? Yeah. And that's what we have to remember.
Now, do you think violence against animals is funny?
In the way it's done, I think definitely.
This.
Like, if you pull a dog's tail, that's funny.
Yeah.
Blowing
if you punch
face,
it, but if you punch it in the snout, not funny.
Not
but
funny.
In the animated world, we can get away with those things have a laugh at them.
Yeah. I didn't laugh at the, I know you guys thought it was funny, but I thought the Viper scene was actually really, kind of sad.
Yeah.
And it's not what the snake community needs. You know, especially, Cameron owns snakes and he's always trying to tell
us how
friendly
they are. We've got to laugh at what we're afraid of. And my biggest fear is obviously the death of a snake.
Yeah.
Not only because I have one, but also because I am one. Like, people call me Cameron the Snake.
Why do they call you that?
Well, they say, like, look out for Cameron.
Because he steals...
he'll steal your material. He'll stab you in the back. He'll pretend he's your friend. Then he'll...
And he'll also steal chips, stuff like
if you've got any food lying around.
Are we talking hot chips or perhaps a Crispy Smith?
It doesn't matter to him.
As long as it's made out of potato, I'm eating it.
Mm.
I'm eating it. Mm. I'll eat it.
Yeah. And that's the sort of attitude that, no one is calling him the snake. Let's be clear.
Well, that's a nickname that people have been saying. I don't know if you guys want to tweet about it.
Been pushing.
Mm.
Maybe tweet me with the snake emoji. That's what people have been doing.
It's good to get it any kind of following in this day of social media. And now, we did positively recommend this film to all audience members out there, but I must strongly suggest that any people that are fans of this podcast or fans of Dana Carvey himself, this is a must-see film. To see where the master is at in this time of his life, which is very exciting at the moment, he's got a new Netflix special, he's got a new episode of WTF, and he's been featured in the film The Secret Life of Pets. It's great to catch up with where the master is at now. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on Carving It Up, the Dana Carvey podcast. I've been your host, Alexi Toliopoulos. My guests have been Becky Lucas.
Thank you. I've been Becky Lucas. You can find me on Twitter. It's at Becky_Lucas89. All you have to do is remember
her name and then an underscore and then the year I was born.
So it's a real cinch.
Yeah, it's really easy to remember.
Easy to track down. And I must say, you do some pretty funny tweets on there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I've got an active brain and it can't be stopped. And I sort of, people say, how do you do it? And I say, I just do. You know, how does the snake know to crawl?
I can answer that. just belly on the ground, squirm around till you get to the food.
Yeah.
Super easy.
That could also describe you on a Saturday night.
Huh?
We've also been joined by Mr. Cameron James.
Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter at I am Cameron James. And also I have a podcast of my own.
Yep, what's that about?
It's called Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos. Mm-hmm. I'm Cameron James, and actually you're Alexi Toliopoulos.
Isn't that special?
And we talk all about the films of Mike Myers.
Now, why would anyone do that?
Well, he's great. He's one of the great comic masters, and we're going through all of his films just to check if they're still good or not. And
can I just cut in and say that whilst I do not have a podcast, I am a popular guest on many, many podcasts.
Interesting.
Becky is quite in demand and she's seen as an influencer on the local comedy scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I also have another one called Blank Slate Movie Podcast, which is just about cinema in general. And you're also on that one.
Yeah, I do tend to get around.
Hey, wait, do you guys know each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
What? That's
weird.
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Did that not come? Our chemistry not come across?
Well,
no.
We've been told we do have quite adversarial dynamic.
Well,
I guess I assume. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Now, if people were wanting to give your podcast a rating on iTunes, the Mic Check podcast, what should they do?
I'd recommend they go to iTunes. They give it 5 stars.
Let's
and
say just be honest. Like,
no, no, care? Just give it 5. And then maybe even recommend a spin-off that they'd like to hear us talk about. For example, we've done episodes on Dana Carvey that we've called Carving It Up.
Yes, and they've been quite well received.
Yeah, sure. And there's other ones maybe. Enter Sandman is one that's possibly coming up about Adam Sandler. I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head.
So perhaps listeners of your podcast, Horny Babies, I believe you call them, they could give it 5 stars on iTunes. And then in their review, they could leave the title and concept for what they would like.
Wow, that's
the show
a great plug for my show. Thank you so much.
And remember that 5 stars isn't always necessary. Sometimes, you know,
it does help.
You might want to leave 3 stars because that's, you know, how you felt, or 4 or whatever, or even 1 if you hated it.
I mean, like 5.
So, yeah, 5. I mean, 5 is a rating that you can give.
It's the one. It's but, the only one.
But 1 star is also another rating.
No.
Well, it's unfair. And you can check that out at Mic Check Pod on Twitter, and it's also on Facebook. Becky, do you have anything coming up that you'd love to promote?
Christmas. I'd like to promote Christmas.
I can't wait. Yeah.
I'd like to promote Christmas. I'd like to promote New Year's Eve. I'd like to promote...
What are our plans?
I'm not hanging out with you on Christmas, on New Year's Eve. Definitely not. You get too emotional.
Yeah.
You want to go through the whole year.
Well, I think it's important for us to celebrate our victories, our friendship, you know, bit by bit.
I think I'm hanging out with Lex. What are we doing?
Well, I could come hang out with you guys. We could celebrate our victories.
I think it's just
friendship.
Better when it's just,
yeah. No.
It's better when
sorry,
it's just,
Cameron. We're busy that night.
We're so busy.
Interesting.
Anyway, listeners, thank you so much for joining us once again on Carving It Up, the unofficial Dana Carvey podcast, hosted by me, Alexi Toliopoulos. And this is probably our last episode for the year. So I'd like you guys to, you know, maybe go home, share this podcast with your family, but also share the good times.
Oh, also, what about, you know, when you're carving it up, the chicken at Christmas, you tell people to carve it up. In fact, why don't you change the name of this to Carve It Up?
Well, we've got all our artwork done, so I don't know if we can actually just, do that.
Yeah, let's change it. I'm going to put the wheels in motion. I'll talk to my lawyer.
Don't worry. I guess you've been listening to Carve It Up.
Yeah, Carve It Up at Christmas. Carve It Up at Christmas.
Is this officially Carve It Up now?
I'm spiraling out.
Oh, God, the sickness has come back.
All right.
You've brought his sickness.
Oh, my God. Carve It Up at Christmas.
Alexi.
Alexi!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.